Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast where we talk about all sorts of nonsense and give it the respect and the serious discussion that it deserves. And today it doesn't get any more serious. And we've got a proper broadcaster, everybody. Not just me and James. Hi, James.
Hello, Joel. I can't even say Joel, but it's early on a Monday morning. Sorry.
It's fine.
You're listening to this on a Tuesday.
He's gone all showbiz and forgotten my name. I get it. It's Joel Elvin here, and that's James Williams. And we are joined by somebody who knows what they're doing. So stay calm. It's the fabulous, the articulate, the superstar, the Strictly alumni, the Good Morning Britain host, it's Susanna Reid.
Hey! Also, Joe, you forgot the woman who has to single-handedly keep Piers Morgan in check every morning.
Toddler taming.
Yeah.
Well, you've given me a lovely build-up. Thanks very much indeed. Now I can't for a moment be inarticulate or unprofessional
no
or slur my words
That's why I did that.
Or even do a bad passo doble in this office.
It's my favourite RuPaul phrase. Yeah. Susanna, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, no. I just slur Joe's name, so don't worry. I've set the bar very low for you, Susanna.
I thought you were calling her Joelle Vin.
Joanne Elvin to you.
Joanne. Hello, Joanne.
Yeah. No one calls me that, actually. Except my parents, Joanne.
People call me Suzanne. A lot.
That's annoying.
Really?
But, well, I mean, it could be annoying. It's not my name. You know, Susanna is my name.
Whenever I write your name, which bizarre, especially since I joined You magazine, I seem to do frequently. I always have to check. My mind wants to put an H. And I know there's no H. So I know that.
There is. It's one of those names which would annoy me if I was writing it out for someone else. Do you know what I mean? Like, why not just have a name that is easy to say and easy to spell? And of course, I'm the definition of a name that's not easy to say or spell.
Do you think?
It could be Suzanne, or the, as you say, it could be an H on the end. People put two S's in the middle. So actually...
Catherine's another minefield. There's loads of ways to do Catherine as well.
I remember when we were expecting our third baby and we thought about what to call him or her, because we didn't know. And I really wanted to, if it was a girl, call her Kate, but with a C, like Kate Blanchett.
Nice.
I mean, that's just trolling everyone. Yeah.
It's setting up all sorts of problems for grandparents.
Yeah.
Because a couple of weeks later, when we found out it was a little boy, one of the granddads came over and said, I remember hearing about a mum who, if they were having a girl, wanted to call their daughter Kate, but with a C. Don't you think that's ridiculous? And I went, no, that was me. That was me that was going to do that. And he just went, but don't you think that's kind of ridiculous? And I thought, actually, it doesn't help anybody, does it?
Well, tell that to Kate Blanchett. She's done quite well for herself with that name.
Absolutely. And I think it's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, my family don't call me Susanna. They call me Anna. Which actually feels like a completely different name.
That's a wholly different person.
I was going to ask you if you had any nicknames. So I've never heard of Susanna as being called Anna, but that makes perfect sense.
I think my parents wanted to actually call me Anna, but they didn't want to christen me Anna, so they called me Susanna. And then all my friends know me as Suze. So I've actually got a name which incorporates both my names, Suze and Anna.
Yeah, and that explains the lack of an H. They had this thing about calling you Anna.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of big questions being answered
already.
There. Already. That's you know? Brilliant.
We're getting very deep, very, yeah. very quickly. Yeah. I like it. I mean, but I'm really weird. I don't like anyone calling me anything but James. Like, I'm not a Jimmy. I'm not a Jim. You know,
Jamie.
I think. We
used to work with a guy who used to call James Jamie all the time, and I used to enjoy James's bristling.
I would physically flinch, but he'd never even noticed. But I thought it was so obvious. But it's weird. I think you are either relaxed about that thing or you're not. And I know, funnily enough, I'm not very relaxed about that.
Does nobody, no one calls you Jay?
No. I mean, weirdly, people have started calling me JCW, which is my full sort of my initials, which I don't know why.
I've developed
a nickname in my 40s.
I like calling people by their last name. So he gets a lot of Williams from me.
Williams. I don't mind that. That's fine. But the abbreviation thing makes me a bit tense. But
and you're a Joanne, not a Joanna.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although a lot of people assume Josephine, which is really weird. A lot of people for Joe, that their go-to is that I must be a Josephine.
Well, that's
who do you know who's called Josephine?
Well, I was going to say, it gives you a nice sort of aristocratic like... Mm.
As us Aussies are known for.
I was going to say... That Aussie dynasty that you're from.
Yeah. I think you can trace me back to convict stock, according to one of my grandmothers, although I was never able to actually verify that.
Well, talking of my mum would be loving. My mum is a sort of family tree fanatic. She loves it. She's known in the local area as the family tree lady. So she just loves it. So if you want your family tree sorted, she can look into it for
you. I was
watching
one of those ads the other day for Ancestry.com or something. And I remember, I'm probably going to lose this a load of sponsorship money now. Sorry, James. But when people going, I've just found out, I thought that my heritage was German, but it's actually Russian. And I was just... I don't give a shit. Do you care about that? What does it mean? What meaning does it have in my life that somewhere hundreds of years ago, somebody was born there?
Quite a few friends of mine have done it. I think that's the Christmas present that's basically found an audience because you've run out of other things to buy that person. Don't you think?
I agree.
It is the Christmas present you buy somebody.
Well, now, I feel
that
like Susanna's been quiet because she's actually right into it and has bought somebody a family tree for Christmas.
We had it done on Good Morning Britain.
Oh, so it was research. It was research.
Yeah.
But I sort of agree in that I found out a significant percentage was Scandinavian.
And what are you going to do with that information?
Spanish, and you're just like...
It's good for awkward dinner parties, Jo. It's always handy to have in your arsenal.
Parties. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you know what? My children were fascinated. Aww. I think children are... Because it's much more exotic to them and much more unusual. Whereas I think for us, we know that we're all a mix.
But it's not like you're going to be able to turn up on someone's doorstep in Sweden and go, hey, 65th cousin removed, let's hang out.
Don't put it past me, Joe. You know.
I just think it's...
Anything for some free accommodation.
I think it's really strange. I think it's like, no, I don't know.
I think it is a nice present, though. I think that...
I hope it is.
Don't get that for me for Christmas, anyone.
But, you know, I always used to find things like whenever you watch, like, you know, America's Next Top Model, you'd see these girls and they would literally say, you know, well, I am part... Polish, Irish,
that's a real American thing.
Yeah, Americans are very into their genealogy, far more than we are, I think. Maybe because they're so, I don't know, maybe because we are
all,
in Europe.
I'm half British, half Australian, end of.
I think the trouble with finding these percentages out and your connections out is if you don't have a meaningful connection with that place or, as you say, that person, what was the point?
Whereas
if you find out
how much does it cost?
Who do you think you are or whatever, that you have a grandparent from somewhere or a great-grandparent?
I think who do you think you are is living history.
Living history,
and
that's the point.
Completely different.
Rather than numbers on a page.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Have you done Who Do You Think You Are? Oh, you should do it.
I think it'd be really interesting to do.
Yeah. I think they're fascinating. Yeah.
And I imagine though, there's a few people get rejected for being too boring though.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is that fear.
You know, you've got to be Danny Dyer level related to Henry VIII.
I mean, he set the bar so high now. I mean, can you imagine being in a production meeting with Who Do You Think You Are? They go, we need the next Danny Dyer. I mean, that's not going to come along that often, is it?
I tell you what, as someone who's been on a program with Danny Dyer, every production meeting is, we need the next Danny Dyer.
Oh, we love Danny Dyer.
He's live TV gold.
He is live TV gold. We won an award at the Edinburgh Television Festival.
Congratulations.
This year for TV Moment of the Year because nobody summed up Brexit like Danny Dyer on Good Evening Britain.
So if we just say twat a lot on this podcast, maybe we'll get...
We need to get Danny Dyer on this podcast. I've just realized.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to do my cover and then he didn't do it.
Oh, Danny.
Do you want to use a certain word?
Well, yeah, I suspect that... I was told that, yes, Danny would love to do your cover. And then somebody asked Danny if he would like to do my cover. And he said, actually, no, I wouldn't like to do that cover.
Well, Danny, if you're listening, come on the podcast and come on Joe's cover. That doesn't get wrong.
But two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my stealth move. Get them on the podcast. Yeah.
And so, Susanna, you look very fresh, I have to say, for somebody. But you're used to this now, this getting up in the morning, getting up early.
I have been doing it for quite a long time. I seem to be getting less and less sleep. And it's taking more and more of a toll. But I think that what I'm very lucky about is I have hair, makeup and styling as soon as I get into work.
Yeah, but that's not the real reason she's not getting any sleep anymore. We know. We know.
I'm getting older, Joe.
You need less sleep as you get older.
You need less sleep. I'm almost 50.
Yeah. Oh, she's that's crazy.
She's high on adrenaline.
She's got a certain glow about her,
She certainly has.
It's hair, makeup and styling.
I live near Crystal Palace. It's really nice.
Yeah. You're a big football fan, aren't you, Susanna?
I've always been a football fan.
Yes. And who is your team?
I support Crystal Palace.
Yes. Always have.
Yes. Always have. Yes. It's not a recent thing.
I'm amazed I haven't bumped into you.
Sellers Park.
Yeah.
Do you go often?
Oh, no. I go to the shops nearby.
That's not the football. I just want to. That's quite. Because they're called the Crystal Palace Parade Shops doesn't necessarily mean that.
I thought I was showing my support.
Yeah, she's a fan of that Crystal Palace. Yeah, not quite the same.
It's very nice.
And the Crystal Palace Park is very nice as well. Yes, the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Although big rats, though, as well. Have you seen those?
Real ones, like, as opposed
super
to models
real
of
big
them.
Rats.
I won't be going into any of that. That's my biggest phobia.
You could saddle them up.
Is it? Yeah. Phobic about rats.
I hate rats. Rats and mice.
Who loves rats?
I know, but it's weird. I'm okay with spiders. So I don't know if you're a rat or a spider person. I think maybe
I'm all right with spiders. I don't love rats, but when they're the same size as a cat, they're not. I mean, honestly, it's really weird.
Terrifying.
Well, I think you know, people love rats when they're pets. I don't think anybody loves the idea of just a kind of verminous rat coming in their house. Do
especially
they?
When your dog's going for one in Crystal Palace Park.
I'd probably quite. I get on board with that. That's
get it. Get away from it. Get away.
Actually,
anyway,
I did once see the neighbour's cat, which is the size of a small dog, go into battle with a rat in the back garden. I mean, it was gladiatorial combat.
Yeah.
It was quite extraordinary. I thought the rat might win at one point.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't take on a rat.
No.
No.
And
I don't know how we got here.
I know. Well, that's the question we ask ourselves every week. But I have to ask you, Susanna, I mean, you know, do you feel like, I mean, the last few years, especially the show is doing so well, hasn't it? It's really found its groove, hasn't it?
Just, yeah.
And like you said, it's always making headlines everywhere, the world over now. Do you just sort of pinch yourself and go, God, I'm having such a great run of it? You know, especially, you know, I think...
I love how it's going right now. And I think we've worked really hard to get it here. When we launched in 2014, I remember, you know, some of the headlines were kind of soul-destroying.
Yeah.
But you've got to stick with it. Because sometimes when things are new, people are sort of out to criticize and you have to develop. What you do is you just over time develop a thicker and thicker skin. And the main thing is you just do the work.
I think that's really inspiring. I think I kind of have been going through a similar thing here where you've just got to stick to your guns and what you know you're trying to do.
Well, there's this idea, isn't it, that it should happen overnight, and it doesn't. Yeah. You know, it really
doesn't.
But it's
really painful when it's not happening overnight.
Frustrating, I guess. But
also, you mustn't take things personally.
Yeah.
And you've just always got to think, because social media is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it? And if you're just constantly looking at reaction, you're forgetting about actually doing the groundwork.
Yeah.
You've got to ignore the reaction and just keep plowing on. And then, of course, Piers joined the team and that shook things up.
Who is that?
Completely. Yeah.
A very shy, retiring character. You wouldn't
sometimes
have heard of him.
Sometimes we try to get through an interview without mentioning his name and people say things like, you know, those things that jut out at seaside resorts, you know, just a sort of vain attempt not to mention his name, because of course he loves a mention.
Of course he does.
Piers joined in 2015. Yeah. So it's just coming up to our third anniversary working together. Yeah,
but who would have thought? I mean, you know, I've said this to you, I think, before. You know, I interviewed on a red carpet once and I said, did you ever think that you and Piers Morgan would now become one of our best loved double acts? Essentially, you've become, you know, you're up there, like I said, with Holly and Phil, Ant and you know what I mean? But it's true, people they love waking up to you guys. And I think because you've got this banter, but it's certainly, can you honestly say when you first got that news, you'd be like, oh gosh, how am I going to make this work?
Well, when I first got that news, I took my microphone off so that nobody in the gallery could hear what I was going to say and then ranted at my editor. You see, Piers Morgan, are you serious? He said, we're deadly serious. I think it could really work. And then I put my microphone back on and
ever the professional.
Shook myself down.
Thrilling news, everybody. This just in.
And of course, you know, that didn't happen overnight either. And to start with, it was almost too prickly.
Yeah.
But that settled into a groove. And I think, you know, you mentioned some of the other TV pairings. I think what we bring is very different in the sense that you are guaranteed a row.
Which is brilliant TV.
Yeah, but you're guaranteed a row between two people who respect each other and like each other.
And are passionate about, and know what they're talking about, or have done their work,
their homework. It's got a real sort of like brother-sister dynamic. Yeah. When I've had that with people I work with, where it's you like each other enough that you can have that row and you know that you're safe and that it's not going to be ugly. You'll go down to the pub later.
It's not like mum and dad rowing and we might split up.
Yeah. No.
You know, it's we're going to row, but ultimately we'll just look at each other and wink and go, right, and now on to the next topic.
And I think that Piers has that relationship with a lot of people.
He does. But dare I say, are you almost fond of him now, Susanna, would you say?
Yeah, because I describe it as the first time that I understood what a love-hate relationship was actually like. Like, you think a love-hate relationship is sometimes you like them and sometimes they're a bit annoying. Actually, no, sometimes I love him. He's fantastic. He brings so much energy. He's got so many ideas. And it's really stimulating to work with. You might have thought you've thought about everything for the programme and he'll come into the morning meeting and give you five other things that you just in a million years wouldn't have thought about. And then on a, you know, the toss of a coin, I'll just be like, I totally hate you. I cannot bear you. Why are you saying these things? I'm so, like the other day we were having a row about, you know, he's like, drive your children to be the best they can be. They're everything they try, they should be the best. And I'm just like, I'm so glad you're not the father of my children. It would be exhausting living in your world.
Yeah.
And then he sort of does this thing where he pretends to do my voice and he thinks I'm a Pathé newsreader and he'll go, oh, little Timmy must be all wrapped up in cotton wool because mummy doesn't want him to. And I'm like, somebody hold me back.
Thing is, I say this with all love because I do love Piers, but there's sometimes the things that, like the Daniel Craig papoose thing where the world went mental about him saying, and I just think it actually doesn't really matter that much that that's what Piers thinks about that, and yet everybody gets so upset about it.
His purpose in life is to provoke.
Yeah.
He just and it wants works. To wind yeah. you People up. And once I realized that's what he wants to do, I chose not to get wound up by it. And I think that's what you need. If you're a Twitter user and you cannot understand why Piers is putting this view out there and you're posting your picture of you looking manly with your papoose on and you know you're Daniel
he's
Craig
won.
And
he's one and I just that's what I don't understand that people don't understand anyway.
But that it's also given you, I think, Susanna, a whole sort of, you know, sort of sideline in like hilarious withering visual memes. Like your expressions are just, you don't even need to say anything.
The eye rolls.
Yeah, it's just
the
genius.
Looks
what
to
is,
camera.
What does the internet say? It gives people life.
It does.
Susanna's eye rolls give people life.
Her memes.
Yeah, it's
Check
true.
Them out, people. Yeah. Google them. You're missing out if you haven't seen them.
I hope also that I'm inspiring anybody who has to go to work and be in an office with someone who might really wind them up.
And just be forthright.
Yeah. Either be forthright or...
You can make it work.
Just make it work or find a way to win them over.
Or be professional.
Yeah.
You know.
Or, you know, speak up. You know, whatever mood I'm in, I hope I inspire someone that day. Or choose not to let it bother you. Sometimes you can just choose. I'm not saying you can all the time.
It's a lot more satisfying in many ways as well. I think something that's really taken a bit more, you know, something that's not so natural or easy to do, at the end of it, when it's a success especially, feels probably really great.
It does feel great. I think we've got to a really good place. And I'm really enjoying myself. Yeah. And no, Piers is really enjoying himself.
And you can tell.
And the numbers show that the audience
it's
is
fantastic.
Really enjoying
itself. Congratulations. I hope you're both locked in for a good period because I think people would really miss you in the morning.
Who knows? Who knows with Piers? He leaves jobs in all sorts of circumstances.
True.
It's his hobby. Yeah. His hobby is leaving jobs in a dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
But, well, good luck. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of you. Anyway, well, we've already gone quite deep. I think it's time to do some topics, don't you?
It is indeed.
Let's do this.
Right. Susanna Reid, James Williams. James Conrad Williams.
Oh, thank
Williams.
You very much.
JCW.
Yeah.
Susie Sues. Anna.
And Josephine. Our dear friend Anna.
Anna Sues.
Yeah. Is it just me who, I might need to explain this one a bit. Is it just me who has a grading system for my social media posts? Now, I'm sort of like, I try not to need that validation, but we all do. That's why we do it, to get the likes, to get the clicks, to get the feedback. Particularly on Facebook, I find there's a certain group of people who like all my posts. It could be I've just eaten a boiled egg or something hilarious, or that I think's hilarious. And there's sort of like a set pool of people who like everything. So I think, oh, yeah, well, that's, you know. But it's only if people who don't like everything like it that I value it more as a post. Does that make sense?
You're a social media snob.
I know, I am. Well, that was the other way to say it. Yeah. But yeah.
Basically, yeah. No, I do know what you mean. You're basically saying, and I think I have a few people like this, you have almost like people on your social media who are like canned laughter.
Yes.
They will basically just applaud anything you do. You know, they just love you. They love you as a person. So you, like I said, you could literally just fart on Facebook like, and they would like it.
It's like your mum telling you you're pretty. That, yeah. You don't, you know, that's just what mums say.
It's basically going back to what we were talking about with you and P is because the ones you have to work a bit harder for that like mean a bit more. It's the way, and it's the people that aren't a bit trickier. Getting them to respect you, you respect more, I guess.
I think I'm not so bothered by who's liking as, I mean, literally numbers. And I think sometimes I'll post something that I thought was clever, like on a Sunday morning when the political programmes go out, and I'll think, oh, that's, you know, I've got a really interesting insight into that on Brexit or something, and it'll get sort of like 10 likes.
Yeah, because people don't like serious things.
No. Yeah. And then I'll post something really frivolous and suddenly it'll get 1,000 likes.
I bet your burnt finger there gets tons.
Joe, if I posted a picture...
By the way, Susanna has burnt her finger, everyone.
She's got a big plaster on it.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Seriously, why don't I do that as an experiment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could post a picture of this and it would have 1,000 likes. And then I could say what I thought about Theresa May's latest Brexit deal. And people just ignore it.
I guarantee you'd get more people giving you advice on how to treat that burn.
People are brilliant about advice, aren't they?
They do.
Oh, they are.
Advice about how to do your job. Oh. Advice about how you look. Oh, yes. Advice about how you interact with your coworkers.
Those lovely Twitter advisors. Oh, they're always so charming, aren't they?
And in fact, I think I loathe a patronising Twitter advisor more than I do someone who just says, you're an ugly bitch. Shut up. Do you know, it's like there's something about their, oh, that's called parenting where I'm from, Joe, school of people who I just cannot handle at all. More than the people who just say, shut up.
But don't you find that they've got like a hyper filter on Twitter now. So I barely see anything, any responses to anything. I mean, I used to get loads and loads of trolls. But since I've put in all the filters, I basically just see replies from people like...
So all you need to do is filter out the word peers and you'll be all right. You just won't... Yeah. Oh,
I like getting peers' responses.
Oh, I don't. Oh, every now and again. Oh, God, peers has retweeted me. Oh,
and then just the pylon happened.
Yes. And then it's just awful.
Now, this is an interesting thing. So when people criticise you and then you retweet, like I'll quite regularly, if somebody @ me in a tweet and it's critical. So the other day, it was Remembrance Sunday, and I posted a poem and somebody said, oh, you're normally anti-British for every other day of the year. Oh, so how come today is different? Now, they @ed me in that, so I saw it. So I retweeted it with a comment just saying... anti-British ? And of course then they went private. Well, I'm sorry, but if you @ me on a public social media forum, I'm afraid you are at risk of having that
and
retweeted.
Say something like that.
Also, I would like to know, why the hell have you been deemed anti-British? What have you done to
me? Right, so this is the argument, is that because sometimes I am critical of the way that the Brexit referendum and arguments were put.
Yeah.
And my view is that the campaign was for ice cream, but nobody said whether it was going to be mint choc chip, rum and raisin, strawberry, vanilla,
absolutely,
or any other type of ice cream.
Or actually just rotten milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm then deemed anti-Brexit.
Oh, gosh, right. Okay.
Then I think it's a short hop for some people to go from anti-Brexit to anti-British. Doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
But I think that's how some people's minds work.
God love Twitter.
I'm exhausted just hearing that.
But on a positive note, it's good to know the filters work.
They really do. And sometimes I have to go out and actually seek replies.
You have to look for the nasty.
Yeah.
And the other positive is we've forgotten that I'm just a big old social media snob.
Yeah, we moved on. Yeah. I don't know. I think A like is a like in this day and age, Joe. I mean, with the algorithm...
I'm grateful for all
beggars
that.
Can't be choosers.
Yeah. The algorithms, the way they've gone. I mean, I feel like definitely a few years ago, you used to get a lot more. Now with these goddamn algorithms they keep playing with.
How big is your sort of fan club that you rely on?
Fan
you
club? Know?
Yes, the ones who always like everything you say.
It's not very big.
It's like, immediate family. Her dad.
No, my dad doesn't like all my
can
posts.
Can you not rely on... Oh, I can rely on my lovely mum. I can always rely on my mum.
You can rely on my dad for sarcastic comments underneath.
Oh, a like from my mum is almost like having a panic alarm in her house. If I haven't had a like from my mum, I have to call her up and go, are you all right? What's happening?
Oh, my God. No, my mum doesn't look at Facebook enough. Oh. No, it's just I'd say about a dozen people who...
And then you just discount them.
Yeah,
and
I just
then
think, you yeah, well, you always
there.
Like
That's
it.
That's your baseline.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have a couple friends who are couples, and there is a spoken rule that if they do not like each other's posts, they have serious words with each other
are
at home.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, my God, absolutely. Even if it's the shittest post you've seen on God's Earth,
the modern world is
they
hard.
Have to like it.
Is that like part of the prenup?
Almost, yeah.
God.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? But it is ludicrous. When you sit down and go,
I don't know. What if you don't notice that someone's tweeted?
Well, a friend of ours got a phone call from a friend of hers when she didn't like a picture of her baby on Facebook. I noticed that you didn't like that.
Wow.
I mean,
that's a diplomatic nightmare. But also, be uninvited to dinner parties.
I've got too much to do. I don't sort of like sit just looking at nothing but my Facebook likes.
No.
Just so we're clear. No. But yeah. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Well, maybe, yeah.
I mean, you count those
Facebook,
12.
Yeah. Facebook, yeah. I think, is it's harder to ignore things because the truth is if you've got a lot of mutual friends or, you know, you, Facebook's good at bringing things up from a few days ago, whereas I do now find with Instagram, for example, if I've not gone on in a day or so, I have genuinely just missed something. I'm not prompted to like
well,
something.
You better like my recent posts because they're
God,
good.
I'm so
I know.
Nervous
I always do. I feel like I think I am part of your fan club. Yeah. I'm sure I am.
No, you're allowed.
I like your posts.
Well, no, and I'm talking more about Facebook. Come on, a like from Susanna Reid. That's the that's the goal.
The holy grail.
Yeah. I no longer use Facebook.
Oh. Well, you've been waiting a long time for that one.
There's a lot of right on people who left Facebook.
Yeah,
it's
quite a
feels
few of my
a bit
friends.
Like a very empty party at the moment.
A lot of people have left.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I didn't leave it for that reason. Mm. I left it because I found that people... Right, so we have this thing, don't we, that it's all about your best life. It's all about your highlights reel and not your behind the scenes. And in some ways, that's quite intimidating to people. So I always say on Instagram, you know, if I post... I post a picture every day of what I'm wearing, fine, because people ask what I'm wearing so that they know. But sometimes if I do a shoot, like a cover shoot, I'll also post a picture of myself without makeup. So I'll say to people, I don't always look like that. I have a hair stylist, makeup artist who make me look like that. So please don't compare yourself to my highlights reel because it's not the same as my behind the scenes. Mm. The trouble with Facebook is that I know all those people who are posting. So on Instagram, I'm sort of thinking, oh, you know, that's a nice picture. On Facebook, I'll know if that person's genuinely unhappy or I'll know if they're posting something that they're trying too hard. And it just ended up just feeling a little bit...
Hollow,
yeah. Fake, yeah. False.
Well, that's the whole thing with social media, I think. I think it's the illusion of connectivity.
Yeah.
And
trust. Yeah. And authenticity. Mm. And actually, whereas on Instagram, you can kind of suspend your disbelief a little bit. On Facebook, I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just couldn't see those posts anymore from people saying, oh, look at my happy life. And I'm thinking,
when you know. Oh,
know
my
what?
God, yes.
Yesterday,
yes.
That's not what you were saying.
Oh, it's so true.
It's true. Well, look, if you agree with Joe and you do feel like, yes, I absolutely have a sort of, you know, method. What is it called? An actual
grading system
for your social media.
For the social media groupies.
Do drop us an email. We love hearing from you guys. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And in fact, we had a lovely email the other night from Courtney Miller who says, I was driving home from Newcastle to Scotland. That's quite
a
drive.
That's
a
drive. That's several podcasts.
I know. Well, here you go. You can
love
where this
Courtney.
Is going. She says, so last night with my boyfriend, and he slept the full journey, of course, typical man. And is it bad that I was so happy because it meant I could catch up on all the Is It Just Me's for a whole 3 hours. God.
Wow.
You did 3 hours of me and Joe. You deserve a medal. Courtney, thank you so much for listening and glad you're enjoying the show. But yes, if you have any suggestions for topics, we'd love to hear from you guys. Drop us an email at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Right then, next up this week, Susanna and Joe. Is it just me that's currently somewhat concerned that I might be Fun Bobby from Friends when I don't drink?
Oh, right. Fun Bobby.
I know. Well, I say this because...
No. You'll have to remind me who Fun Bobby is.
So Fun Bobby was that guy that Monica dated in Friends.
This is like series one.
Yeah,
Friends.
It's early Friends.
Yeah.
Guy that Monica dated, there was Fun Bobby. He was crazy. Whenever he came into town, everybody loved him.
Was he always drunk?
And then basically he was a functioning...
They realised that he drank a lot.
Yeah, he was basically a functioning alcoholic. And then he gave up drinking and he turned into the world's most boring man. So...
Did she leave him?
Yeah, in the end she actually dumped Fun Bobby because he wasn't...
Oh, that's great. That's a really great
another politically
option.
Incorrect moment from Friends.
Yeah, another one.
Re-examined.
Another Friends episode that didn't date so well.
You have to keep drinking to be the fun one who's great
that's what I'm going with. Yeah.
Well, I say this because, to give it a bit of context, I have not now had a drink for 5 weeks. 5.5 weeks.
Let me look at my no drinking app.
Oh.
On my phone.
And I wanted to do this, Susanna, because I know you've given up drinking. Are you still?
I've got a sobriety clock.
I've got to say, you two look fabulous. Well, and I'm not even being sarcastic. And when James walked in this morning, I thought he looked so trim and chiseled.
Well, thank you.
You are glowing.
Thank you. Well, so are you. But so hang on, how long has it been since you've not had a drink then, Susanna?
2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days, 14 hours and five minutes.
And can I ask you, did you think you'd go this long? What was the sort of... the reasoning behind it, the logic behind it?
Do you know what? I can't really remember, except... So I'll go over a couple of things. I wanted to get healthier.
Yeah.
I was finding that if I had a drink or two drinks or maybe three drinks, it was taking me longer and longer to get over it. So if I had a couple of drinks on a Saturday night, I would sometimes find that when I went into work on Monday morning, I wasn't... Not that I would clearly... I didn't still have alcohol in my...
A bit fuzzy, though.
But I just didn't feel like I was entirely
on
over it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the feeling the morning after where you lie in bed and you can't really rest. I was finding it was fizzing a bit in my body. That's when I did feel like the alcohol was there. I decided I wanted to lose some weight, and I'd been to the doctor, and the doctor had said, you're at the top end of your BMI. It might be a good idea to drop, you know, a few pounds. When you cut alcohol out, that's an easy couple of pounds.
Yeah, it is.
Especially if you do sort of midway through your, you know, eating plan. So that was nice. And the other thing is, I just was finding that my memory... I mean, I think with age anyway, because I'll be 48 this year, I just find that your memory is affected anyway, isn't it, as you get older? And I thought, alcohol's not great for your memory.
Yeah.
It's not great for your memory the morning after. No. Who knows what the long-term impact is?
It's not great for your paranoia. It's not great for your sleep. It's
the anxiety. I mean, I'll be honest. I did it because I've been doing this thing called F45. It's an exercise regime. It's a big hit in Australia. It's beginning to sort of gradually take over the UK, and they're launching studios all over the place. And I signed up to do the exercise. And then they also run this thing called the 8-week challenge. So they do this thing where you follow an app that has all your meal plans, and the food's actually very good. You don't feel like you're particularly restricted on the food. But obviously you do the exercise. And the big thing is you don't drink for 8 weeks. And I have to say, when I read 8 weeks no alcohol, I was like, well, that's not going to happen. I've done a month before, but I thought that's never going to happen. And then weirdly, I started doing it and I thought, okay, this is not going to last. And it's funny. I mean, I wanted to talk to you though, Susanna, because what I found harder, it's other people's reaction. Because what happens is when you say you're not drinking, it holds up a mirror to other people who become very, very uncomfortable. They become very aggressive. I was really surprised at how many people actually sent me some quite brutal messages saying, I can't believe you're doing this. It's ridiculous. You should be able to drink reasonably. Why? And I was thinking, hang on, you're having a go at me. I think you're more worried about how you drink and your relationship with alcohol because you can't handle the fact that I'm, you know, basically going to attempt this.
I don't think I've had any really negative reactions. I'll tell you one thing that people seem a bit disappointed sometimes. I think, and for instance, if you go out to celebrate, if I go out to celebrate a friend's birthday, it isn't much fun to say, and I'll just have some sparkling water.
No.
And I think people think, oh, come on, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, just have a couple of glasses tonight. Or you might go out for dinner with someone and they say, you know, just for tonight. And what you're thinking is, actually, I've gone this long without it, and I really would rather not let that back into my system. I don't know how long this is for. I don't know
if this is forever
or another month or until tomorrow. But I do think that other people think, actually you're kind of killing the vibe.
Yeah.
By
that's
not
what,
drinking.
That's what I've noticed. I've surrounded myself with people. I've gone to birthday parties. I've gone to dinners. I've gone out. I've even been to nightclubs because I just thought I'm not going to lock myself away because that's not mentally a good thing to do.
I do slightly have fun Bobby syndrome. It is like I'm going to be really honest. I need to stop drinking. And it's not because I've got a problem or anything like that, but I just two drinks and I am debilitatingly ill the next day. And I think maybe it's an allergy or I don't know, but I also really, really like wine.
I do.
Yeah, I miss wine. So I miss vodka. I don't miss cocktails.
My
I miss red wine.
My first big test is actually tomorrow. I'm going out with Kathy Lett, God help me. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
And it's her birthday.
Love you, Kathy. Well,
I mean,
Happy birthday.
We did her birthday party on Saturday, but she and me and a couple of other people are going for a drink on tomorrow, which is her actual birthday. And she's going to be just really annoyed that I'm worried that I'm not entertaining, but I also think actually there's a huge chance I'm going to be way more entertaining because I'm not going to pass out tired at 10 o'clock in the same way. Mm.
Well,
so yeah.
And I have to say all those people that initially when I first said I was doing this, they've now all, it's weird how they accept it and now it's totally fine. You know, so I just think it is a funny thing though, and it's very much a British thing, I think, our attitude to alcohol. You know, we have this idea that
all or nothing.
Yeah, you have to drink to have fun. It's like, well, do you? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying I'm never going to drink again. And like I said, I really do miss red wine. But yeah, it's unbelievable. And the thing that's been a revelation to me is the quality of sleep. Like, yes. I cannot get over how quickly I now fall asleep. And even if I wake up in the middle of the night, I immediately fall back asleep.
There's
something
about
drinking
that even when you've slept, you don't feel refreshed.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
I really miss it. And I tell you the time I particularly miss it is when you're in that big social group. Like, I went to the Grouch show and then the shots come out. Mm. I just miss it. I miss the whole fun of it.
Yeah.
Just letting your hair down, having fun, not worrying what anyone thinks of you, feeling just great. I just miss that. But you just have to enjoy feeling great for other reasons, which is that you're not going to fall down the stairs or forget what happened the night before.
But also my thing as well is I actually have a very high tolerance for drunk people. I like drunk people. Drunk people I think
nice drunks.
Yeah, nice drunks. I find them funny. I think they're hilarious. But it's really funny. I've noticed I often now go home or leave a situation because I can sense my presence as a sober person is making them uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so that was another revelation.
If I'm drunk, I don't notice
Nobody
the sober
notices
people.
You when they're drunk, really.
Obviously, I tend to get the ones going, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm so drunk. And I'm going, no, it's fine, I don't mind it. And they obviously forget they've told me and then they come, oh, I'm sorry, we must be really annoying, we're so drunk. I'm going, yeah, you told me that 10 minutes ago. Because that's the thing, is it's the drunk amnesia. You don't realise when you're drinking, you can talk about the same crap for hours on end. You can go back around the houses, have the same conversation.
Yeah, I will find a joke that I think is hilarious and I'll tell it
I'll keep
50
saying it.
Times until you've heard
it. When I'm drinking, I'll do that too.
Yeah.
I want to go out drinking with both of you.
But for the record, I mean, I also think, you know, I'm far too outspoken and chatty when I'm not drinking. So, you know, I don't really need it to, I think, express an opinion.
No,
or
you're not boring when you're sober.
Okay.
No,
I'm not fun Bobby, am I? Please tell me I'm not fun Bobby.
You're adorable.
And you're not
JCW.
You're not fun Bobby either, Susanna.
Yay.
I'm fun Joey.
Fun Joey. Don't take us back there again.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Is it just me, or am I the only person who is intimidated by walking into public places? So the other day I was going to a party.
On your own?
Yeah. Mm. And sometimes I find it, they're daunting. And I think when you're in television and you're broadcasting to millions every morning and you're interviewing loads of people, people kind of just assume that you're really comfortable in those scenarios.
And also with you, because your face is so well known, I bet when you walk into a room, everybody goes, oh, it's her. Whereas I can slip into a room. No problem.
Well, I don't. Do you know what? Sometimes people don't recognise me when I'm off air, because unless I have been through the hair, makeup,
because you're such a gargoyle without all the TV makeup.
I don't look the same, Joe. Yeah.
If you've not had the stars in
their
eyes treatment.
I've heard this old chestnut before.
Yeah. Joe, I do look completely different. But someone gave me a great tip, and I really recommend it to anybody. If you are intimidated about going into a party, don't worry about making small talk or eye contact on the way in. You just go direct to the bar.
Even though you're not drinking. But
no matter what you're drinking, you confidently order a drink from the bartender. And then you turn with your back to the bar with your drink in your hand. In my case, sparkling water, obviously.
Yep.
And then you speak to the first person in front of you. And you strike up a conversation with them. And it is amazing how that will then connect you to other people in the party.
I do think there's something in that, because I think the panic...
Some people fear that more than death.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I think the panic is more the initial walk in, and especially if you're walking in, even meeting people you know there, you do that sort of slightly lost
in the headlights. Don't be lost on the way in.
You know.
Have a focus.
Yeah.
Know where you're going. Turn your back to the bar. Use it as a support. And then go
forth. Your physical support.
I don't know. I wasn't always like this, but I'm not sure when it happened, but I have no problem whatsoever walking into a place by myself.
Really? That's...
Not at all. And I think it might have been, I had to go to Buckingham Palace once on my own, big party for Aussies. And it was the first time in a while I literally knew nobody in there. And I thought, well, you can either stand in the corner and, you know, sort of like hang your head, or you can just walk up to a group of people and introduce yourself. What's it going to be, Elvin? And I made actually really fantastic friends that night.
That's right.
And since then, you know, that doesn't always happen.
No.
And sometimes you walk up to people who are like, oh, fuck off, we were having a conversation with just us and you're not in the gang. And that happens.
Also, but don't set really high expectations for yourself.
Exactly.
Don't go in thinking, I've got to be the life and soul of the party, or I'm going to have a fantastic
I've got to stay for 4 hours. You can go in for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
No, I mean, and so I go in now, I make myself have the attitude of like, wow, you might meet somebody really interesting. It's not about you.
I'm a big believer in the power of doing something alone. Like I've always said to all of my friends, I think even once in your lifetime, you should... have a meal by yourself. You should go to the theatre by yourself. You should go to the cinema by yourself. Because people genuinely, they feel like social pariahs. The idea of going and doing those things solo sends the fear of God into them. Whereas I actually think it's weirdly quite liberating. And actually, if you think about it, they're just things, you know, you don't really chat in the cinema. You don't chat in the theatre, you know. And even, you know, meals. If you go in and sit in a nice restaurant with a book,
or your social media.
Exactly, whatever works for you.
Or your best friends on social media.
But no, I think that it's a really good thing to do. But that's a good tip though, because I will now, even like I said, if I'm joining a bunch of people in a bar, I will get that weird butterfly. Yeah. I don't know why.
Don't worry about the walk-in. I think that once you've taken the pressure off yourself with the walk-in, then you can handle it.
And it's also that thing you have to remember, everyone has to do it. Everyone in this party has walked in.
And everyone feels funny at times, even Susanna Bloody Reed.
Exactly.
Even Susanna Bloody Reed.
If Susanna Reed can get into a party, so can you.
It's the first time I've been called Susanna. Actually, probably isn't. If I take my filters off, I've probably been Susanna called that and worse.
Susanna Bloody Reed. You can say it like that. You can say Susanna Bloody Reed, everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here
exactly.
today.
Next time you're in doubt, people, just remember, what would Susanna Reed do? She would walk straight into that party, head held high.
And get a big glass of sparkling water.
Exactly.
And then speak to the first person you see.
Yeah. That's even if it's tip. Piers.
Even Piers.
Yeah.
You'll never be alone when you've got Piers Morgan by your side.
Somebody who never gets nervous walking into anywhere, I guarantee exactly it, Piers. Right. Anyway. Susanna, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been delightful. Thank you so much for looking
delightful
after me.
Thank you
with
you.
My sore finger.
Oh yes. Hope it gets better soon.
Thank
you. Do send all your remedies to Susanna for her
at Susanna Reed 100. Any burn
don't
remedies.
Don't forget to post that burn pic.
Yeah, I will. We'll see how many likes it gets. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.